Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. This is Ken, the Passion Entrepreneur, your profit evangelist, your chief profitability officer. Thank you for listening in. We show you how to maximize your profits and business opportunities. We teach you the best practices for profitability and share with you new ideas and strategies to take your business to the next level. So we want you to listen, learn, enjoy, and share. Today, we're talking about the power of email marketing. So here's the setup. Yes, you're in business. You're doing pretty well. However, you're still not satisfied. You need to make more money, more cheddar. And you want to still grow your business. So you need more clients, right? You want to attract more people to your website. You want to find a better way to communicate with your prospects and clients. And you want to build a better relationship with your key clients. So what do? You know, you've got 100, 200, 500, 1,000 contacts in your database, and you want to find the best way to organize and communicate with those people. Well, Constant Contact has a solution for business owners. Constant Contact is a company that helps small businesses, associations, nonprofits connect with customers, clients, members. They were launched in 1998. And Constant Contact champions the needs of small business and provides them with an easy and affordable way, which is also very, very good, to build successful, lasting customer relationships. Constant Contact is the leading email marketing and survey products supported by expert personal coaching and service. They help you with all types of businesses and organizations, and they create professional-looking email newsletters, insightful online surveys to help you begin a dialogue with your customers. Today, they've got 150,000 customers worldwide. So that's Constant Contact. So on the program today, we have Pamela Adams with Constant Contact of Georgia. Welcome to the show, Pam.
Hi, Ken. Thank you so much for having me.
Now, we only have 30 minutes. I'm going to jam-pack all of my questions today for you guys. So I'm pretty excited about this. Email marketing is really interesting. I'm taking a look at it. I've got my blog stuff and all this other stuff. So let's take a look at what email marketing is. Let's define email marketing. What is email marketing?
Well, Ken, the technical definition is utilizing email to deliver professional communications to an interested audience containing information the recipient finds valuable. Now, I always like to take that technical definition and break it down into layman terms, which means just basically sending out quality, relevant emails to your subscriber base in order to establish an ongoing relationship, to educate them, and to stay top of mind with your subscribers.
Okay, so the power of email marketing. So we defined email marketing. So what is the power there?
The true power of it is what we call viral marketing, where, you know, the old concept of they tell two friends and they know two friends and so on and so on. So the power of it is really because it becomes viral, where when you're sending quality, relevant information to your subscribers, they're going to share that with others, and then that's how your list starts to grow and your exposure to even more customers grows.
Now, you said relevant content, correct? So what
Definitely.
Kind of things should we be communicating to prospects and clients?
Well, the key to it being relevant, of course, is going to depend on who your subscribers are, and that's one thing that many businesses don't know. So they have to do a little bit of testing to really figure out who are their subscribers. For example, a realtor, you know, their subscribers are going to be homeowners. So you want to ask yourself what's relevant or what are homeowners interested in. But the biggest thing I think for any business is when you're talking about relevancy, you want to make sure that you're educating and that you're sharing and that you're giving back information to them that they'll be able to use, not just trying to sell and promote to them.
Okay. So what success stories do you have? Before we talk about success stories, what are some? I attended your class a couple of weeks ago, and I was really you passed and shared some very interesting statistics.
Okay.
What are some things that people ought to know about as it refers to email marketing?
There's tons of statistics. One of the first ones that I always like to share is that it costs 6 to 7 times more to gain a new customer than it does to retain a customer.
6 to 7 times more.
Times more. You know,
Hold on to your customers.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on to those customers.
Okay, exactly. An existing customer spends 67% more with the business. So, you know, oftentimes we spend a lot of time trying to acquire that new customer, which we still want to do, but we really need to look at the true value of our existing customers, not take them for granted, assume that they're just going to come back and buy from us again, but to truly build that relationship with them and continue to educate them and give back to them so that they continue to stay on board as a customer. And after 10 times of interacting with you, they've already told 7 people.
Really?
Yeah, so turn them into your sales force.
Well, and so is that what you see sometimes, that people neglect their current customers and clients? And
oh, definitely.
Go after the next pot of gold, so to speak.
Definitely, especially people that are new in business, because they're always out there, you know, networking, trying to grab on to new customers, find new people to connect with, but they're not building those relationships. And I think that's what we miss so often, not only with email marketing, but also just with networking. You know, we've got to build the relationships, not just meet someone, get a card, and add them to our list.
Okay. So what, in terms of relevant content, what would be some good things that we want to communicate?
One thing that everyone loves are tips. You know, top 10 ways to do this, 3 key things to this. You know, anytime that you can come up with some just quality tips, it's nice, simple information that people can digest and utilize immediately. So that's definitely one thing I think that you should share. And then, again, just educating them about your products and services, why they should use your products and services, and also just, you know, sharing information in your industry that would be interesting and relevant to them in their everyday lives.
Okay, we're talking with Pamela Adams of Constant Contact. You can check out her website at www.constantcontact.com/Georgia. That's www.constantcontact.com/Georgia. What would be another interesting statistic that you could share with the listeners?
2 statistics that I like to share also is that there's 2 key things to getting your emails opened. One is your from line and one is your subject line. And that 30% of the people decide to open your emails based on your subject line.
And really? I thought it would be, you said 30%?
30% of the people decide to open your emails based on your subject line.
All right.
Yeah, and then 60% of the people decide to open your emails based on your from line.
Okay.
60%. And a lot of people always think it's the subject line that's the most important, but we've got to realize that we're in a spam world now. So the way we treat our emails, we go down the list, and we look at who it's from and decide immediately, I don't know them, so you delete it.
Wow. Okay.
So your from line is so key, and you've got to look at if most of your subscribers know you by name, then you want to use your name in the from line. But if they're going to recognize the company more, then you should use your company name in the from line.
Really interesting. Okay, so what other favorite statistics do you have, or have we exhausted those? I know
there's so many statistics. another tidbit about the subject line, you know, I always tell people to keep it short. And with subject lines that have fewer than 49 characters have open rates of 12.5% higher than those that have more than 50 characters.
Okay, so keep it short.
Keep it short. Keep it under 50 characters to get that higher open rate.
Okay, all right. So business facts. Who's using this email marketing stuff?
Service. Like you mentioned, we have over 150,000 customers. A lot of them are small businesses. The product was, you know, originally created to focus for small businesses, not only from ease of use, but also from the cost perspective. We wanted to keep it very affordable for small businesses to be able to utilize this. But now we even have some larger companies that are utilizing it, both externally as well as internally for communications. We have churches and associations, nonprofit organizations. So it just runs the gamut.
Oh, excellent, excellent. So We have a caller calling in. Let me see if this person has a question. Welcome to the program. You're listening to Fashion Entrepreneur. Pam Adams is of Constant Contact. You have a question or a comment?
Yes. Hi, Ken. It's Robert. How you doing?
Hey, Robert. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Hi, Pamela.
Hi, Robert. How are you?
I'm doing good. I have a question. I know that Constant Contact is, I guess, the premier leader in this area. How do you differentiate yourself with other people that are trying to get into this business or are doing this?
Again, it goes back to, I think, one, the quality of the product. You know, we've made it very user-friendly. The Constant Contact is a company that listens to their customers. You know, I send up customer suggestions every week from the people that I'm talking to in the field. And a lot of the suggestions, you know, I often see implemented. On top of that, we're looking at the cost perspective. You know, our pricing is based on the number of names that you have in your list. So you can send unlimited emails through the month, where a lot of our competitors price it by the number of emails that you send out. So that can often be limiting for businesses. But I think it's really the quality of the product, the ease of use of the product, and then the value from a cost perspective.
Ah, okay. Well, one of the other questions that I had was that, and I'm sorry for joining the call late. But one of the questions I had is I hear about these email campaigns and sort of, I guess, you know, sending out one mail message doesn't necessarily get floods of people coming to your door.
Right.
How does that work?
Typically, when you send out a campaign, what I normally suggest for businesses, you know, in order to educate, typically you're going to send out a newsletter. It doesn't have to be a lengthy newsletter, but you want to make sure that you're always giving back to your subscribers. You're, you know, educating them, you're giving them information, sharing something of value with them. Then you can look at that content. You can look at what links they click in that email to see what they're interested in. So we're going to give you all of that reporting and tell you who's opening your email, what links they're clicking, and then you can see what's interesting to them based on what they're clicking. And then you may send an advertisement or a promotion or a special based on that interest. And so instead of just sending, you know, floods of emails to everybody, what you really want to do is segment your list so that you can make sure the content you're sending is relevant based on what they're truly interested in. So where you may be sending several emails out a week, it shouldn't be going to your entire list every time so that you're not overloading people. To give you another stat, the average open rate is 25%. So for the campaigns that you send out, if you're getting a 25% open rate, you're doing pretty good. The Constant Contact average is a little bit higher. We're around 37.5% for individuals that open your emails when you send out those campaigns. So if you're in that range, you're doing pretty good. And membership organizations are a little bit higher, of course.
Right.
We're talking with Pamela Adams of Constant Contact. You can check out the website at www.constantcontact.com/Georgia. That's www.constantcontact.com. If you have a question for Pam, you can call us at 646-716-7099. That's 646-716-7099. Okay. I have another question. Success stories.
Okay, success story. We have a lot of great ones. One that I've been sharing recently, I visited one of our customers, Pete Pedro, with Extreme Transformations. And Pete is just really doing everything right. He is following the best practices. Basically, he has grown his business from having two trainers working in his garage. And over the span of 3 years, he now has 7 trainers. He has 2 locations. He now has 2 separate businesses, Extreme Transformations and Extreme Boot Camp, and he's franchising it. And he credits a lot of that to email marketing. He sends out his campaigns, you know, on a regular basis. He announces any special boot camps that are coming up. He lets people know about other classes. He sends out different campaigns based on whether they are a cash or a credit customer versus whether or not they are a barter customer. And basically the work is easy for him. Behind the scenes, he's just copying that campaign and changing a bit of the content based on which customer it is. So, you know, we make the product very easy for him to be able to send out those multiple messages to different groups and just tweak it a little bit so that it's relevant to that particular group. But he's really doing that with his email marketing, and then he's also using our survey product as a way for quality control to get feedback from the customers on their experience with the trainers, and he can also use that information to determine how the bonuses and the pay raises for his trainers on top of that.
Wow, that's very interesting. That's an outstanding success story. So this email marketing stuff does work.
Definitely, definitely. And another thing that I like that he does is in his campaigns, he'll include a customer story, so a customer spotlight. So then, you know, that customer feels great because people are seeing what their results are. You know, he usually has a before and after picture. So, you know, they really feel special with what they're doing. And then other people can get motivated by that as well because they're seeing what some of the successes are for his business.
Now, you mentioned best practices for email marketing.
Mm-hmm.
What are some do's and don'ts?
Some do's and don'ts. Some of the first don'ts that I always want to make sure people know is, you know, don't use free. Free gets caught by the spam filters all the time. So, you know, you want to use other terms like, you know, no cost or on the house, you know, be our guest, anything other than the word free. All capital letters and excessive punctuation gets caught by spam filters. And also using the info at or the sales at for your from email address will cause often cause your emails to go into the spam filters. So those are a few of the some of the don't do's that you don't, you know, with your email campaigns. Some of the do's, of course, are you want to be consistent with your branding. You want to, you know, all of our templates, we have over 300 templates in the product now. All of them are fully customizable, so you can change the colors, you can change the graphics. So I always stress, you know, match your branding. Make sure that your emails are matching your website so that when people see it and then they click a link to go to your website, they see the cohesiveness there. So you want to make sure that you're at least including your logo and include your color scheme from your website. You can have a little bit of variety in your campaign, but make sure that that theme goes through, your branding theme is goes through from your emails and onto your website and in it, and any of your other marketing materials.
All right. We're talking with Pamela Adams of Constant Contact. You can reach her at www.constantcontact.com/Georgia. Robert, do you have another question?
I think that one of the things that I've seen is that people respond very well to email better than to some other things. How do you actually personalize the email so that you can you know, do the segmenting of the marketplace and actually get at the people and the things that you want?
Okay. Two things. My first answer when we're thinking about personalizing the emails, what first comes to mind is the actual message when, or the actual greeting. When you say, you know, dear Pam, you know, if when you're entering your email addresses, if you at least capture their first name, you are able to actually personalize the emails, and they do go out individually. So each person would get an email that had dear whatever that first name is. Now, of course, if the first name isn't in your database, then it'll just go to the secondary greeting. So it still looks personal where they don't get dear blank. They at least get, you know, your secondary greeting of hello or greetings. The other part when it comes to personalizing it, really thinking more about, again, it being relevant to them is, you know, include links in your emails, and that's another best practice as well. You know, when you're doing articles, don't put the whole article. You know, only put the first couple of sentences, the first paragraph, or summarize what the article is, and then provide a link to that article online. Two reasons for doing that. One is because people don't really read emails, and then the other reason is because if you provide links, then we can provide you with reporting, and then you find out what people are truly interested in. And sometimes you find out what they're not interested in because, of course, if no one ever clicks that link, then you know, don't tell them that information anymore. Move on to something else. But really finding out what their interests are, what links they're clicking, will then allow you to, when you're looking at a report, you can save that list of names that clicked on a particular link to a new category. So then you're able to send them more relevant information because they've shown you that they're interested in that particular topic. Now maybe send them a special or a discount for your product or service tied to that particular topic. So then that's how you start finding out, you know, what's really relevant to them, and then you're able to start sending them emails that are much more relevant for them and where they're going to now start interacting with you. You know, they say it takes 7 touches for a sale to occur. So once you're sending out these campaigns, you're staying top of mind with them, now you're starting to send them things that are even more relevant to them that they're truly interested in, they're going to be more apt to go ahead and buy from you.
Wow. Along those lines, how often should you send a single person email?
Okay.
I mean, once a week, once a month?
You know, again, it really goes on your subscriber, your type of content, and, you know, you really learn what their tolerance level is. You know, again, if you're sending a newsletter, typically once a month is the time frame for sending newsletters. Definitely you don't want to go longer than a quarter. But the general rule of thumb is if you have more content, email less often. And if you have less content, then you can get away with emailing a little bit more often.
That's some good information you're passing. I'm glad we're recording this conversation. So I can download this later. Take notes. This is really good stuff. I have a question. This relates to the new media.
Okay.
How can you integrate social media, you know, with mm-hmm. email marketing,
mm-hmm.
like blogs, social, online networks,
mm-hmm.
podcasts?
Okay. Yeah, well, some of the great things, of course, again, is because in the emails you can provide the links to all of these resources that you have. So, of course, you know, Ken, for example, in a newsletter you may send out, you may have a section that's going to feature, you know, email marketing. I had this great discussion about email marketing and then provide them a link to your blog. So once they actually get to your blog, of course they're going to start clicking around and looking at what else you have out there. You know, the same thing for your website. So you don't have to just provide a link and say, go to my website. You can provide a link to, you know, content on your site. So it's not, you know, so much a hard sale of, you know, go here and look at all of my stuff. It's here's a link to something relevant on my site. And while they're out there, they're going to go and, you know, start clicking around and visiting more if you've, you know, created a quality site and made it sticky to where people want to stay out on your site and review other information that you have. The same thing in reverse. So when you're talking about your blogs, you, of course, want to make sure that you're always providing a way for people to join your mailing list. So, you know, with the blog, you know, you want to share with them. I'll send you announcements about, you know, upcoming blog content, letting you know what new blog shows are out here. So please join my mailing list. And then that then drives traffic to your email marketing as well.
Okay. Helpful hints.
Mm-hmm.
Helpful hints on getting started.
Okay, on getting started.
Yeah.
Some of the first things you want to do, of course, is you want to build your list. So building your list, you may start with, you know, your in-house list of customers that you already have. The key with building your list is permission. You know, with Constant Contact, we believe in permission-based marketing and always getting that permission so that you aren't considered a spammer. And that's simply just asking, just mentioning, you know, I have a mailing list. I send out emails this often with this type of content. May I add you to my list? And the current stat is that 57% of those surveyed will actually fill out a card to receive email alerts when asked to. So we really just have to ask for it. You know, to build your list, several ways to do it. Of course, I mentioned, you know, make sure you're including the sign-up form on your website so and on your blogs and anywhere else. You can do it as a text link, so put it in your email signature, making sure people, you know, see the link to, you know, click here to join my mailing list or click here to receive, you know, free announcements, different things like that. And, you know, if you're out at a networking event, you want to collect business cards, ask for permission to add them to your mailing list. So there's several ways that you can build that list and get things going.
Now,
so I would say that's the first key is, you know, creating a quality list.
Okay, I want to go back to the helpful hints getting started unless you finish that. But
mm-hmm.
you mentioned spam.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I meet somebody. I know they want to hear from me, so I'm going to put them automatically in my email and start
mm-hmm.
sending them emails.
Okay.
Is that wrong? Or what?
Well, how did you know they want to hear from you?
I'm playing a devil's advocate here.
Right.
Although I think I could say sometimes I do think that everybody wants to hear from me.
Right.
I got important stuff
right.
to say and to share. And so, but so how do you know if you're a spammer?
The two things that you want to ask yourself when you add a name to your list is, do they know me and do they want this email? Those are the two things you want to ask yourself. Do they know me and do they want this email? Now, of course, you already can add, you know whether or not they know you. The question, do they want this email, you need to really ask yourself, did I ask for permission to add them to my mass mailing list? That tells you if they said yes, then yes, they want the email. If not, if you didn't ask for that permission, you're going to have to ask yourself a few more qualifying questions. You know, are there's two types of permission. There's explicit permission, where they did say, add me to your list, or where they clicked the link and signed up automatically. And there's the implicit permission, where, for example, you have in your existing customer base and you have that existing relationship. And then, of course, there's no permission, and that would definitely put you in the realm of being a spammer.
Okay, so if you're defined as a spammer, how do we know we're spammers?
That's a good question, because some people are innocent. You know, they kind of came across it and ended up being a spammer. Now, through our product, what we will do is we'll give you a spam report in your, or we'll tell you how many people marked your email as a spam when you look at your reporting. Now, of course, spam is in the eye of the receiver. So even if someone did give you permission, they can still mark you as spam because they may say to themselves, I don't want this particular email. Or, you know, really the general consumer just doesn't understand spam. So, you know, they just think, I don't want this particular email, and they click the spam button so that it'll go away. So because of that, we typically allow one spam report per 1,000 emails that go out because we do know that some people are going to, you know, mark you as spam, and it truly isn't spam, spamming them. But those that are blatant, you know, we'll may freeze their account, put them on a list review, give them a call to find out, you know, how did they build this list? Did they purchase this list? You know, is this permission-based? Try to work with them to help them clean it up. But for those that are just blatant spammers, we'll have to remove them from the system because we don't want our other customers affected.
I guess, and I'm not talking about me, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But, sometimes you can send an email out and you never know it didn't get to the person because I guess Yahoo and mm-hmm. MSN have already deemed you as a spammer.
Mm-hmm.
So does that happen? I mean, if you send a lot of emails out and people, or your, I guess the internet companies define you as a spammer and actually automatically goes into your spam?
Right. Well, sometimes that would happen. You would then notice that if you see excessive, not blocked, but undelivered emails, or even block the emails, and you notice that one particular ISP is listed like at Yahoo, all the emails came back and you see they're all at Yahoo, then that can be a flag to you that your email may have been blocked by that particular ISP or ESP. Now, you know, again, in our reporting, we give you a balanced report, so we'll tell you the different reasons that the emails may have been blocked. It may have been undeliverable, a non-existent address. It could just be an auto reply or just maybe general blocks. From a blocking perspective, about 19% of emails are going to be blocked. And that's just kind of what the industry standard is. Now, with Constant Contact, our deliverability rate is 97%, but that's because we've built the relationships with the email service providers so that, and we've also put in place a lot of things behind the scenes, so more of our emails actually get pushed through when you're using our service over trying to do it yourself.
Okay, now we have less than 3 minutes to go here.
Okay.
Robert, do you have another question before we conclude? I do have one more question. How fast is it to get it up and running? But I want to make sure Robert gets the question in.
Oh, thank you. No, I don't have a question, but I just want to say thank you, Pamela. This has been very informative. I've learned a lot about how to do an email campaign.
Great,
now,
good.
Some of the do's and don'ts.
Good. What area are you in, Robert?
I build websites.
No, I mean what location physically?
Oh, Atlanta.
Atlanta. Okay, great. Well, I definitely invite you to come out to one of my seminars. Most of them are free. And the website, Ken mentioned, constantcontact.com/Georgia, lists all of the upcoming seminars. So I hope to see you at one.
When's your next one?
The next one is on Monday at, I'm doing it for the DeKalb Chamber of Commerce at the University of Phoenix, at the DeKalb location. And that one is the Getting Started with Constant Contact, where I actually log into the product and go through how you create your campaigns.
And what time is that?
That one is at 8:30. Registration is from 8:30 to 9, and then the class is from 9 to 11.
And is that one free? Or
that one is free, yes.
Hey.
Yeah,
like
there
that.
You go.
And what about if people can't make that one, when's the next one?
The next one after that is one at in College Park, at College Park Library. I think that one's $25 one. It's also a Getting Started seminar. But again, go to constantcontact.com/Georgia, and you'll see the calendar. You can click on one of the calendar dates to see the details, or there's a link that says See All, and you can see all of the upcoming seminars for the month. So this month is a busy conference month, so I'm going to be all over. But I do the seminars in Metro Atlanta every month, all the time, and I cover different areas to just make sure that we get out there to everybody.
Okay, my last question. We had, mm-hmm. I guess, a minute left. Mm-hmm. How fast can you be up and running?
You can be up and running probably in under an hour. It really just depends on, you know, your kind of knowledge. Some people are not so savvy, so it may take them a little bit longer. You don't have to be a technical person, but you can create an account. We do have a free 60-day trial, and I call it a truly free trial because we don't ask for financial information. You don't have to remember to cancel it. If you go to the website, you'll see the link for the free trial. For 60 days, you can add up to 100 names and send out your email. So as soon as you set up that trial, you can upload your list through an import, and you can start creating a campaign. Again, you use one of our templates, so it's very easy to customize it and just add your content and send it out.
And how expensive is...
As I mentioned, the pricing is based on the number of names you have in your list, so you send unlimited emails through the month. So for 0 to 500 names, it's $15 a month. And then the next range is 501 to 2,500 names, and that's just $30 a month.
Well, that's pretty affordable.
Yeah, we try to keep it very affordable for small businesses.
All right. So, thank you, Pam. Pamela
Adams.
Hey,
I appreciate you having me, Ken.
I really enjoyed this. I'm glad I copied it so I can download and listen to it later. I did attend both of your classes, but this is really good reinforcement for what I learned a couple weeks ago. So any parting tips or any summary what you want the listeners to get out of this conversation that we've had?
I think the most important thing is to remember that it's a what's in it for me world. So make sure that you're giving back to your customers. You're not just talking about you. It's not about you. It's about your customers. So make sure that you're always keeping them in mind when you're crafting your email campaigns. And then come out to some of the seminars. I do the best practices seminars as well as the getting started seminars to teach you how to use the product. Come out anytime.
All right, then. Thank you very much, Pam.
Thank you, Ken.
You sharing your information, knowledge, and experience with us. I'm looking forward to having another conversation with you.
Great. Feel free to come out as often as you like.
All right, then. Well, thank you very much. We'll put the music on, and we'll come back and bring Robert back into the fray.
Great.
Stay right with us. Hey, Robert, how's it going, my technology guru? Are you still with me?
I am with you, kid. How you doing, man?
Pretty good. So do you have a technology tip for us?
Yes, I do. My technology tip is that it's nowadays not very expensive to get involved in the whole internet, social media, part of marketing. Marketing is now being done all over the place, and it doesn't take a lot of money or time to get up and running.
Now, this is interesting. We have a networking session we do on Tuesdays that Robert participates in, and we have, I call it E3C Connect or My Business Community Connect, where we connect passionate entrepreneurs and we talk about business subjects and we get to know each other online. It's not face-to-face. And the trend that I noted, I think you really had some great input on that. I'm talking about the top trends in small business. And the top number 10 is your personal computer is going virtual, is your business. And you've got a doctor. We're talking with Robert Joseph, Glue Life. Plug your website there, gluelife.com. But you have a doctorate in computer science, artificial intelligence, and I thought you could really lend some good support on the number 10, the top 10, your business, your personal computer is going virtual, is your business. What was your what are your thoughts on that?
Oh, yeah, I have a lot of thoughts on that. It's between Google and between some of the other companies that provide services for that small businesses can tap into, for little or no money, you can actually have a virtual place of business. And what I mean by that is that we at Glue Life are a virtual company. My partner lives in Washington, D.C. I live in Atlanta. But we share documents, share Excel spreadsheets, share PowerPoint presentations using Google Docs. Google Docs is a free service that has PowerPoint type of applications that you use right there on the web. Two people can be working on it at the same time. Has Excel spreadsheets, so when we're looking at our projections or looking at how to go into a new marketplace, we can put that on the web and we can share that information. Or if we're working on a proposal or something like that in which we have to get out to a client, we can work on it simultaneously in the same document, so we don't have to worry about sending an email back and forth and saying, okay, do you have the latest version of the document or do I have the latest version of the document? And the nice thing about that is that if when we are traveling, we still have access to those documents.
Right, right. Because I think personal computers have changed.
They have.
I think in the 1980s, you know, the PC was king. After that, you know, Microsoft took over, and the computer software was, again, the dominant component in the 1990s. Now you've got Google, and they're doing some really interesting things via the Internet, and that's where the action is right now. And so I think the next frontier, that's applications that are being written on the Internet. And so now you don't really necessarily, the focus is not, oh, you got the hot computer. It's not the software that you have to have on your computer. It's, in fact, what you can download or connect with via Internet. It's a wireless world, a really interesting evolution that we're going through right now.
It is. And it's a fun time, too, because now you don't have to be a huge company in order to be in order to do things effectively. An example of this is that we actually had a client that we built a website for, and we taught how to maintain and extend their website, and that client was located in Paris, France.
And Paris, so, France.
Paris, France. We have another customer in Barbados. And, you know, we'd love to go to Barbados, but it wasn't in the budget for us to go there for this website. But we were able to service that client. We were able to service the client in Paris, France using technology. So we used GoToMeeting to allow us to show them our screen or to share their screen and to walk them through, okay, this is what you do here. We use Skype, which is voice over IP, or what that means is, it's basically being able to talk to somebody over your Internet connection using your computer with a mic and a speaker, and that's a free service. So we were able to communicate with Paris, France, and Barbados for free. And we used a content management system that allowed us to build the website very easily and very effectively so that we didn't have to be called every, you know, a few minutes or sent an email when a word needed to be changed or a picture needed to be rearranged or something like that. So we put the power into our customers' hands, but we use technology in order to make that effective. And it's just amazing how much you can get done with just a little bit of knowledge and a little bit of time.
Yeah, and that's what I say. I did a blog on doing presentations online and saving money. And I say a lot of times most of my clients or even my prospects that I meet with, initially I don't meet with them face-to-face. And that might sound odd, but I meet with them virtually via phone. I can use a GoToMeeting link or just connect them to my website and follow through what it is I'm trying to communicate. But more importantly, my first meeting is all about them. And I want to focus on what their goals, what their concerns are. I want to build rapport. And you can do that via the phone and online. And then once I understand what they're doing, then we have a second meeting. And, again, that's going to be online. Again, that might be a little odd. I've got 20 years of experience. I'm used to getting in the car and going places and seeing somebody for when you think it could be 30 minutes, it turns into like 10 minutes. And they're not excited to see you as you're much as excited to see them. You really want to see them because you want to close them. So I use online presentations initially to gather information and to make contacts. I can actually see more people via the office using my phone and my computer than I can going in my car and getting stuck in traffic. And sometimes in Atlanta, It can take 30 minutes, 40 minutes to get there.
I was
going to
say 30
it's
minutes?
My way. Yeah, so I'm like, ah.
Only 30 you know, minutes?
Well, yeah, sometimes it takes 45 to minutes to 60 minutes, and that's a good day or a good time. But I just said we have technology. How can we use technology to be more profitable, more effective, more productive? And so you mentioned the online stuff. I'm doing it. We do it on Tuesday mornings with the E3C Connect. So I like to ask people, businesses, are they prepared? What other applications, what other things are you doing? Let me mention one other thing. You mentioned contact management. Your tutelage, your counseling, your coaching, I created two websites. And now I can, anytime I want to do my website stuff, I download applications, I do anything I want to do. Talk a little bit about going virtual and using your website for that.
Yeah, one of the nice things and one of the nice things I like about you, Ken, is that you have jumped in with both feet and you are exploring all these different technology tools. And the nice thing about being able to explore the different technology tools is that you can then start to refine which tools work for you, which tools might you suggest for other people, and so forth and so on. And the tool that we use for managing our websites is what's called a content management system. And there are a number of content management systems out there, hundreds and hundreds of them, and there are a lot of them that are free. And what I mean by free is that you can download these applications, you can then upload them to your internet service provider or wherever you're hosting your website, and there is no charge for the software. With being able to use a content management system, that actually allows you to manage your website from anywhere in the world. As long as you have an internet connection and you have a computer, you can make changes and modifications to your website and make enhancements to it.
I hope people listen to that because that's powerful. That is very powerful. You're not stuck someplace. You've got an internet connection. You can still do business.
And not only can you do business, but content management systems allow you to do the modifications very easily. There, in the past, people would use Dreamweaver, and still now, people use Dreamweaver or Go Live or Front Page or those type of applications in order to make updates to their website. And with those, you're actually stuck with either the computer that you have or somebody else's computer that has that application on there. But with a content management system, the web and a browser actually acts as your tool for making the modification. So there's a section of the program that's called the back end, and that's where you go and you make modifications to your website. And then the front end, that's what everybody sees. The nice thing about the content management system that we use, and if you want to know which one it is, you'll have to go to our website and check it out. The website is www.glulife.com. But the nice thing about the content management system that we use is that literally in less than 5 minutes, you can create a website with pictures, with text.
Yes.
You can create a shopping cart with products and costs, and then you can take money from people over the Internet.
That's
so in 5 minutes, you can be up and running and ready to take money. And so it's amazing the things that you can do now with technology.
We're talking with Dr. Robert Joseph of Glue Life. You can check out the website again at www.glulife.com. That's G-L-U-F-I. I'm sorry.
That's
that
right.
Wrong.
It's G-L-U-L-I-F-E.
.com.
G is in good, L is in love, and U is in umbrella,
okay.
And then life.com.
Here's a couple other things, and we're close and almost running out of time, but I did want to mention some things. Microsoft has Office Live. I think that's been around for at least a year or so.
Uh-huh.
And you've got Google with the online applications. YouTube is now a major player on the Internet. You've got Facebook, LinkedIn, Technorati, StumbleUpon, Dig, Squidoo. They have millions and millions of members. So social media is making an impact in the business community.
It is.
You've got Second Life, you've got Kineva, I think if I pronounce that right, here in Atlanta, Georgia. So there's a lot of ways that people can get involved via the internet. So blogging is one thing. I mean, I've got a blog. Do you have a blog, Robert?
Yes, I do. We have one on our website.
So millions of people, entrepreneurs, are sharing ideas and thoughts on creating, you know, online communities. We've created a My Business Community online, so I wanted to do that so we can share information and knowledge. And so it's critical that if you start blogging, you create your own online communities, take control of instead of trying to push a product, people get to find you through the communities that you build, through the information that you share and the knowledge that you share. So you, via blogging, you can, you know, talk about business and technology, entrepreneurship, free enterprise, anything under the sun. And the key thing here is that when you're trying to put that ad on 285 or on a highway paying $2,000, you know, what is your return on investment there? You may get it, you may not get it. What you want to do, and that's like the old school stuff, is that you want to start thinking about how can I not push my message, how can I attract clients and prospects? That's the key. That's the key. So times are training. Times are changing. The old ways of doing business, they're simply ineffective. They're unproductive. They're not profitable. And astute business owners are embracing the change and they're growing while, you know, and if they don't do that, their business will face extinction.
And go ahead. One of the interesting things that I was talking with somebody yesterday, and we were talking about this whole new media and the internet and everything. And I said to him, I said, you know, the internet's here to stay, right? It's not going anywhere. And so whenever you're faced with a new technology, there's a learning curve that's involved in it. And if you're waiting till 2009 to start your internet focus, then it's too late. You want to start it now, so that when you get to 2009, you've learned all the lessons, you've made all the mistakes, and you are ready to hit the ground running. And if you don't start now, then when you do start, then that just pushes your learning curve that further out.
Absolutely, absolutely. So in wrapping up, any parting thoughts on the number 10 trend, your personal computer is going virtual, is your business, Robert?
My parting thoughts are that with a little bit of knowledge, and a little bit of time, and only a little bit of money, you can increase your productivity, your effectiveness, and your profitability in a number of ways.
All right. So my question is to you guys. You're listening to this conversation that we're having. We can continue the conversation on my blog. Check out the blog. It's e3c.typepad.com. That's e3c.typepad.com, and add your comments or thoughts. I'd be curious to find out. And Robert, you can too. Put your thoughts in there.
I will.
I've got a post on the number 10 trend. The personal computer your personal computer, is it going virtual and is your business? So put some comments and thoughts in there. So my question to you guys as we wrap up is, how are you embracing the change? How is your business adapting? What is your experience? Maybe what are your successes? How are you using this trend in your business, and how are you taking part in this new evolution? So what are your thoughts? Go ahead and give us your thoughts either on the blog or on the podcast. So that is the show. How did we do today? I really enjoy it. I'm actually coming back tomorrow talking with Jim Beach, talking about bootstrapping your business. So, again, that is the show. If you have any comments, we'd love to hear from you. Please forward your comments to our podcast and comment section, and you can continue again the conversation on the blog or put a comment in the podcast section. Specifically, I want to call and thank Pat Adams and thank you, Robert Joseph, for being on the program.
Thank you, Ken, and I just wanted to just give my website one more time.
Please do.
www.glulife.com. And as always, Ken, you're a great hostess. Thank you very much.
I try. So if you're looking for a second opinion, you want to maximize your business opportunity, you want to learn the best practices of profitability, you come to the right place, give us a call. Ken, E3C, the Passion Entrepreneur, your chief profitability officer, your profit evangelist, if you call. So if you have a question, you got a guest idea, a topic of interest, just contact me via the podcast or the blog. We have about 300 profit and sales ideas. We've got about 60 different courses, quizzes, surveys, and about 25 business or sales aids. Last year, we talked about E3C Connect, but last year we achieved over 500 business-to-business connections, and this year we've done about 185 connections
so
far. So meet us on Tuesday morning from 8 to 9 to connect with other passionate entrepreneurs. So that's the show. Again, my parting thought is dare to be great, be remarkable, be extraordinary, and above all, stay profitable. Brian Huntley, this is his music from New Wine Music. He provides the bumper music for us. Take us out, Brian.